My name is Blake Switzer. I'm the lead pastor here and super excited to be able to continue on with this series called For the One and Preparing for the Harvest. Last week we jumped into talking about what that looks like for us as a church moving forward, and we were in Luke 15 and looking at the parable about where Jesus said the shepherd would leave the 99 and go after the one lost sheep, and we saw Jesus personal mission statement in Luke 19:10, where he said the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And so that has to be our heart as well. And because it is, and because we have that desire, we are moving forward with some things. There are going to be some things that look and feel a little bit different around here. And if you haven't been in the building since last Sunday, you probably walked in today and thought, wow, okay, this does feel a little bit different, as visually we're able to see where we are headed as a church, and super excited about that, and at the same time realizing that we have had over a year that we've been processing this and working through it, and for you, it's kind of just starting to happen, right? So this is all fresh information and new, and so if you walked in today and it's kind of like, wow, it feels like a lot that I'm processing, and especially after, I know Aaron touched on this earlier in the service, but coming off a really hard week, you know, with all the violence and the death of a very outspoken believer, Charlie Kirk, and just all the things happening in our world. There's a lot to process, right? There's a lot of weight that we feel from things going on. And so perhaps the thought of, okay, and here's something new and unique, you know, it takes some time to process that. And so that's why the plan is for us to have a really long on-ramp before everything begins to shift. But let me just give a quick refresher, because I know some were not here last week and you're not really sure what we're talking about or why. And we talked, just a quick summary, three things that we are, challenges we're trying to overcome in order to help us reach the one in our community. That's the ultimate goal. And we said, for one thing, our church name is confusing to a lot of people in this community. They think we're a campus of Gateway Church based in South Lake, and we're not. We haven't ever been, but that is confusing because the name is real similar. And so that's one of the reasons why we are moving to a new name, Harvest City Church. And we'll spend some time today in one of the biblical foundations that has directed us toward that name that we're really excited about. But that change will take place February 1st, so there is some time before, but it kind of gives us an opportunity to prepare. We said a second challenge we have is that a lot of people just don't know we're here, in spite of the fact that about 50,000 cars drive up and down Country Club Road every day back here, and a lot of them just don't know we're here. They don't know who we are, that this building is Gateway Community Church, or will soon be Harvest City. So we're taking steps to address it, as you can see in this next little picture here of what it's going to look like on the exterior. That'll give us a lot more visibility. We had someone, by the way, this week at Gateway to Gateway, that said they have lived here for 20 years. They're about 3 or 4 minutes from the church, and they found out 3 months ago that we were here. And that's just the story we're finding out. People just don't realize our visibility isn't as good as it needs to be. So we're going to address that. And the other thing we're going to address is limited space, because we are especially outside in what we call the commons, the lobby area out here. It gets really crowded before and after services. We're a relational church, and we want to create environments where people linger. You know, we want you to be able to chat with each other and enjoy that fellowship time. So we're going to enlarge that space quite a bit, and that's going to help there. But we also have some challenges in the children's area, with our youth, with our adults. We're getting tight in several different areas, and the solution to that is what we're calling our next-gen building, and plans are underway now to start getting the ball rolling on that. It'll be a new freestanding building, and you'll be hearing more about that and seeing more details and specifics as the weeks and months ahead. We're going to talk about more of that. But more than anything, guys, hear me on this. More than anything, let's just continually remind ourselves why we're doing this. We're doing it because we want to reach the one. We're doing it because we want to have the heart of Jesus, who said, I've come to seek and to save the lost. And so we know that changing a building and painting an exterior and all that, not going to save anybody. but it might give an opportunity for you to invite someone that would be like, oh yeah, I've seen that church. I know what you're talking about. And just create an environment where some of those, some of the obstacles can be removed. So that's what we're after. And we looked last week at the Great Commission where Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. And we pulled that Great Commission down into a simple mission statement for our church, for Harvest City Church moving forward. Our mission statement is to know Christ, to live out our faith, and to change our world. I want that drilled into your brain, okay? To know Christ, to live out our faith, and to change our world. That's what we're all about. That's our way of summarizing the Great Commission and what he's called us to do. So a mission statement, which we talked about mission last week, answers the question, why are we here? Today I want to talk about vision, which answers the question, what will it look like when we are accomplishing our mission? So as we look forward, we say, okay, what's going to happen as we are fulfilling the mission that God has given us? And I want us to open our Bibles to John chapter 4 today. And we will begin in a moment in verse 35. But let me give a little, catch up to speed a little of what's going on so far in John chapter 4. This is a chapter where Jesus meets a woman in Samaria at a well, and they have an interesting conversation. It starts with Jesus asking her for a drink of water, and it turns into him offering her living water and even revealing who he is as the Messiah who has come. And something clicks with this woman who has been rejected. And, you know, he tells her, you know, all about her life. She's been married 5 times. She's working on number 6 now. And yet Jesus loves her and shares with her who he is. She goes back to her town and she brings people back with her. So verse 31 says that the people from the town are coming back at the end of verse 30. Actually, they're coming back from there. And verse 31, the disciples come back and they had left to go get food. So Jesus is left behind. He's at the well. He has this conversation. He does what he said he came to do. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. He's actually doing that in this one-on-one conversation. The disciples come back. They don't know what's taking place. And they just say, okay, Rabbi, here's the food. And they try to get him to eat. And Jesus isn't particularly interested. And the disciples don't understand. And I'm, you know, kind of with the disciples. And then sometimes it's like, when it's time to eat, it's time to eat, right? And so they're hungry. But Jesus said, you don't understand. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. And he's actually a little frustrated with them because they're so hung up on food and missing the most important thing, which is Jesus doing what he came to do, seeking to save the lost. So that's where we pick it up in verse 35. Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. So Jesus is quoting here what seems to be a well-known proverb, so to speak, of the day, and that's it's 4 more months until the harvest. Here's essentially what that is saying. In a culture that was agricultural, they understood this. When you planted the seed, you had to wait 4 months until the harvest. That was about how much time had to pass. And no matter how desperate you were to get busy harvesting, you got to give it those 4 months, right? You got to give time for the crops to grow. But this saying, are there not 4 more months until the harvest, essentially kind of began to mean, well, just kind of cool your jets a little bit. You don't have to get in such a big hurry. And it reduced or eliminated urgency. That's what he's addressing here, is this mindset of, there's plenty of time. We'll get to it. And Jesus is saying, no. You need to open your eyes. The fields are ripe for harvest. That word there that is translated in the NIV is translated as ripe for harvest. Literally means white for harvest, and some of your translations may say that. And that's interesting because when Jesus says, lift your eyes or look at the fields, here's what I suspect he was doing. Let me remind you, the woman that he had just talked to went back to her town, and she's bringing people back with them. So I can envision all these people walking back wearing white, as they often did in that culture, and Jesus points to them, and here they come in their white, and it almost looks like grain in the fields that's ready to be harvested. And he's like, look, the fields are white or ripe for harvest. The time to reap is now. And guys, when I read that passage and that verse, it just resonates so much with me, where we are as a church and this time that we are in. I mentioned last week the fact that there are 330,000 people that live within a 10-mile radius of our church. We know statistically that over half don't have a personal relationship with Christ. So the fields are ripe for harvest. And even more so, it's a unique window of opportunity that we have because so many people are currently moving to this area and there's still homes being built and there'll be a whole neighborhood built across the street. And there's a lot of opportunity for us as a church to be able to reap the harvest. And so it elevates our urgency. And it says the time to get busy is now. We got to get with it now. In verse 36, Jesus says, even now, there's that word again, even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. Man, it's so important that he includes this right here, because here's what this says. And he goes on in verse 38 and says, I sent you to reap what you've not worked for. 1 Corinthians 3, Paul addresses this same subject. And he says, there are some who plant, there are some who water, but only God makes things grow. And let's be really clear about that. As we are casting vision and saying, this is what can happen in our community, and we believe that the fields really are ripe for harvest, but God is the only one who can do that. We just simply want to put ourselves in a place where we're removing obstacles and we're being available for God to use us, and when we have room, and we're ready for those that are looking for a relationship with God, or we have a place to invite, we have an opportunity that will help us to share the good news. And when you read this, probably most of us could relate to that, when the idea of the sower and the reaper being glad together. Most of the time, a person who sows spiritual seed is not the same person who harvests. Now, that's not always the case, but most of the time it is. And that's probably a part of your story. As you think back to your life, maybe you had parents who taught you who God is and told you about the good news of Christ and what he has done for us, that he gave his life for us, that he died in our place. In spite of the fact that we're sinful, we don't deserve it, we've rebelled against him, but he still gave his life. And if we put our trust in him, if we confess, I'm sinful and I need a Savior, that he'll save us and cleanse us and make us new. And maybe there were people in your life that shared that story, if not parents. Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher you had as a kid, or maybe it was a friend or parents of a friend, but somebody, right? And how many of you can look back and say, there were people in my life that were praying for me before I came to faith in Christ? Maybe it was that grandparent, you know, or somebody that just cared about you, and they were just relentlessly praying for you. Maybe think about an example of that this last Sunday. Pretty cool experience at the end of one of the services Sunday. There was an adult lady in service, and she just did, through a remarkable set of circumstances, God had prepared her heart to put her trust in Christ, and she did that last Sunday. But afterward, the first thing that she said was, I need to go call my parents. Now, mind you, she has kids that are college age, so we're not talking about, you know, a teenager or something. We're talking about an adult here, and the reason she wanted to call her parents is because her parents have been praying for her all these years. And she said, I got to let them know. And, you know, that is a beautiful example of what we're reading about. Our church didn't really do anything other than reap the harvest that somebody else had been sowing, right? And that's often how it works. And so we celebrate whatever our role is. I mean, whether you're the one that gets to actually lead someone to Christ, or whether you're the one that's sowing seeds and just telling them who he is. Either way, we celebrate together. And he says at the end of verse 38, others have done the hard work and you have reaped the benefit of their labor. And man, there's a lot of truth to that for where we are as a church. But here's the main thought today that I want you to take away from as we talk about looking forward and what is it going to look like when we actually fulfill the mission God has given us. Here it is. Don't wait. The harvest is here. That's my encouragement for all of us today. Don't wait. The harvest is here. This is not a time to say, oh, 4 more months until the harvest. We've got plenty of time. There's no rush. No, we have an amazing opportunity, and the harvest is here. And God wants to use each one of us to reach those who are far from him. He wants every one of us to have the heart of that shepherd that says, I'm willing to leave the 99 behind to go after the one, because the one matters that much. And so today, I want to share with you something that we put together and collaborated in this. Didn't write this myself, but and that's important as you get into it later, because there are certain things about me that it feels really weird to read. But just know that this was kind of a group project. But I want to read what we're calling a vision narrative that just paints a picture of what things can look like for us in the future. You know, as we think about, okay, our desire is to reach the one, and okay, practically what might that look like? Okay, so let me just read this for you. A family moves into the Wiley area. They are busy settling into work, school for their children, and the hustle and bustle of errands, shopping, children's sports, and family activities. Life is good, but not complete. Church is not out of the question. It's simply out of focus. Has anybody been there at some point in your past? A friendly coworker goes out of the way to make this new neighbor feel welcome. During a conversation, the coworker casually mentions Harvest City Church, triggering a curious interest. A few weeks later, an unintentional drive by the campus puts a pleasant picture with the name. They decide to turn and drive by the church to check it out. The church is modernized in a way that makes it look relevant and smart. The sign at the street visually connects to the style of the building. On the campus, clear signage adds pops of color in the sense that the church is current and confident in who it is. The church name is clearly pronounced on the building in a modern style. Signage throughout the parking lot and campus fosters anticipation and clear direction. Later at home, they decide to check the church out online. Harvest City Church comes across as clean, smart, and a brand-savvy church that is family-focused and relevant. The wife checks it out on Instagram and finds attractive highlights of community that they can see themselves in. There are also appealing, shareable graphics and frequent posts that are relevant to their lives as parents. As they dig deeper into the site, which is easy and intuitive to navigate, they see windows into the refreshing church culture. There are authentic photos of families just like them doing life together, upcoming events that are relevant to them, and staff photos and bios that make them seem like real people that they'd like to know. The church speaks their language in a way that feels authentic and not overly churchy, yet compelling. The immersive photography showcases families and children in a way that excites them. They like that the church seems geared for families with kids, yet they also recognize and appreciate the presence of multiple generations that they can do life with. And that, by the way, is one of the things that I love about the younger generation, is the desire to connect with those in different stages of life. And that is happening here at our church, and we want it to continue to happen. The website guides them into planning a visit, providing highly visible service times, the church address, and a campus map, and a sense of what to expect in a disarming way. They easily pick up on samplings of the experience as they navigate the site and find information about relevant family ministries. They discover all they need to know about children's ministry and are provided with a simple way to do first-time check-in online in preparation for their upcoming visit. They can see that the church has worked hard to do the thinking for them, taking the burden off them to figure it all out. And because their new friend had mentioned the church, it was even easier for them to give it a shot. And guys, if you've been there, you know folks that are there, that first initial step to say, I'm willing to go try something new and go to a new church, that can be scary. So the more we can do to make it easier, the better. The family is fully intrigued. They prepare for a visit. It's an unusual Sunday morning for them, having grown used to sleeping late without church in the routine. As they drive toward the church, they recognize the attractive monument with connected branding from the website. Because of its eye-catching prominence, they know exactly where to turn in off Country Club Road to find themselves entering the campus. And I smile at that because people aren't real sure where to go right now to get to our church. The styling of the campus matches the monument they saw from the road in a way that feels master planned for newcomers. They follow the signs to park by the family entrance as they are pleasantly surprised by how easy it was to know where to go. A friendly greeter in the parking lot welcomes them and others toward the family entrance that is clearly marked with signage that provides accents of color, increasing their anticipation of what is inside. As they walk in, they see smiling faces and greeters welcoming everyone at the doors. The greeters are a variety of ages and are relaxed, yet infectiously friendly, as if willing them to smile back. They hear, "Good to see you this morning," in a way that feels refreshing. They feel seen and known by a community that treats them as if they already belong. As they enter the lobby, coffee is front and center in a warm environment whose interior feels like a stylishly modern coffee house mixed with a kid-friendly touch. The experience affirms that the church gets them and is making it easy to be new without feeling like they're sticking out. People are hanging out and fellowshipping, adding to the sense of relaxed, outgoing community. Directional signage makes it easy to locate the kids' first time check-in area. The early hints of what they see for kids are attractive and show a significant investment into their family. As they enter the children's area, the environments catch the eyes of their children while evoking their trust. And parents, you know how this works, right? When you're dropping your kids off somewhere and you feel good about it and it looks safe and it looks like the people are prepared and they're ready for you, goes a long way. Their experience at kids' first time check-in is easy and gives them peace. They sense that the kids' ministry is safe and well-managed by people who care and go the extra mile. The volunteer from the kids' check-in is full service, not only taking them to the child's classroom, but showing them the child development wall, a new feature, by the way, that'll be coming, and helping them understand the church's bigger plan for walking with parents through their kids' life stages to help them build strong families. The volunteer becomes a fast friend, getting to know their names, making a big deal about their children, and getting on the kids' level. Teachers welcome their children to class as parents' confidence is building at every turn. Back in the lobby before the service starts, they grab a cup of good self-serve coffee as a relaxing on-ramp into the service. People nearby are fellowshipping, and an outgoing couple, their age, introduces themselves and chit-chats in a way that makes them feel valued. Before they make it into the service, they feel that they have met friends. And studies will tell us, before people enter a worship service and actually sing a song or hear a message, they've already decided whether they're coming back. And that's based on these types of interactions. As they enter the service, they walk into a well-thought-through, high-standard, engaging environment. It is dimly lit, but easy to navigate. People are greeting each other as they find their seats. As the service begins, intentional lighting turns their focus to the stylishly dialed-in stage. The worship experience is more than they expected, not only in quality, but also in heartfelt participation. They look around and they see young couples like them, as well as other generations engaging in worship. The worship leaders are engaging and passionate, yet down to earth. The couple did not expect to get wrapped up in worship, yet they did in a comfortable and appealing way. The songs were high quality with smooth transitions and easy to sing along to. A sense of devotion and passion puts them at ease and draws them in. A sharp leader dressed in smart casual attire welcomes everyone in a relationally driven way and asks the congregation to greet three people around them as they're seated. The couple meets outgoing people that treat them like everyone else, making it easy for them to feel like they fit in quickly. Man, that's important, y'all. When you're new and you don't know, that's big. They say to themselves, now I know why people are talking about this place. Church is drawing them in long before the preaching begins. Okay, this is where it gets awkward because I'm talking about myself, but I'm going to read it anyway, okay? The pastor thoughtfully introduces himself as if to assume there are visitors present. He mixes lighthearted stories with scripture and real-life analogies that drive the point home. He draws people to him as he shares windows into his life in an authentic way. The family has a sense that he gets them as people, speaking from a familiar place in life. He comes across as genuine and willing to talk about real life. He brings the Bible to life as a gifted teacher who you respect for his posture and realness. You sense he has a willingness to be formed by what he is asking the congregation to be formed by and shares authentic windows into his life. His scripture-based sermon is practical, grace-filled, transparent, and culturally relevant. At the end, he challenges the crowd to evaluate their lives and walk out what the scripture is asking all of us to do with clear next steps. That's why we're here, is to do what scripture tells us to do. The host who did the announcements gets back to wrap the service and challenges those who haven't taken their next step of growth within the church to get started with a class called Starting Point, referenced as the fastest way to get connected into the life of the church. Those who have not met the pastor are invited to visit him and other leaders in the Welcome Center on their way out. A final dismissal is shared, and the congregation makes their way back to the lobby where coffee and fellowship abound. The lobby is alive, and the outgoing fellowship is contagious. They run into the couple they met earlier who call them by name and share their hope of seeing them next week. Guys, remember people's names. Call them by name, and it makes a huge difference. As they enter the children's area, the volunteer that checked them in welcomes them back by name. They pick up their children who, with excitement, tell about their experience and their hopes of coming back. Walking to the car, the couple doesn't even have to say it. They know they have found something special. The family is blown away by what they just experienced. Church was meaningful and powerful. It was relational and relevant. They begin to see how church could be a key part of the life they want to build for their family. They now see the concept of a weekend lifestyle of doing church and building community as the perfect way to get refreshed for the week ahead. Church was compatible with their values as a young, upwardly mobile family, yet it ministered to their hearts in a way they were not expecting, cracking open the door by which they would know and follow God. They visit again, and this time meet the pastor, his wife, and other church leaders and their spouses in and around the Welcome Center. They find them to be genuine and down-to-earth people who they know care for them. They have found their church, a place they could be excited to go. They come back time and again, engage in Starting Point and in a group. They begin to share Christ with others and serve on the welcome team. They have found getting into church to be much easier than they had expected. Church becomes a part of their routine. They build valuable friendships and they feel challenged to deeper growth. As a matter of fact, church is so meaningful that they quickly could not imagine life without it. I hope that's your story. That's the goal. They value having friends at church at their own age, as well as older couples, so that they can glean wisdom from. They see their children know and follow Christ in children's and student ministry while developing lifelong friendships. Their lives begin to reflect what it means to be growing at Harvest City, just like they learned about at Starting Point. Know Christ, live out your faith, and change your world. They are knitting their hearts deeply into the work of God. In doing these things, they become more and more like Christ, and they make a difference in the world around them. As their connect group grows, they're invited to step up and multiply groups as new leaders. They find open doors to share Christ with their church and their church with their friends and coworkers, and their love for people continues to grow. As a result, many follow them to Harvest City Church to find it to be the church that it is, the thriving, intentional, multi-generational, relationally driven, biblically grounded church, standing out in the community by loving people well, sharing practical, grace-filled truth, building strong families, and living generously, helping young families and beyond know Christ, live out their faith in real life, and change the world around them. This is the vision of Harvest City Church, to deliver on this promise, this experience, time and again, and thereby make disciples who believe that God's plan is better than their plan. It is to build momentum through consistent and grace-filled truth, a focus on building strong families, cultivating authentic relationships, and standing out in the community by loving people well. This is how we become who God has called us to be. It requires us to be deliberate. It requires us to be focused on the one and not just satisfied with being part of the 99. It puts us as members and stewards of this church on mission with Jesus to seek and to save that which is lost within our walls and beyond. It is what it looks like when we're fulfilling our mission as a church to know Christ, to live out our faith, and to change our world. Guys, that's where we're headed as a church. We are going to see this repeated time and time again as people come into relationship with God, as they begin to understand what it looks like to get connected and to serve. I mean, we read this at our Vision Summit here about a week and a half ago, and one of the families sent a message the next day saying, "You just described our family. That's our story." And for many of you, you're like, "That's my story too." Right? God has done something in my life through this church. And so here's my question for you. How will you play your part in the vision God has given our church? How will you play your part? Like, what's your role? What is it? Was there something that as I read, something that's kind of stood out to you? Like, man, that I would love to lean further into that. And that's what I want to encourage you with today. One is just, let's pray that God continues to work and make this a reality. But let's also ask him, what's my part in this, Lord? What role do you want me to play in reaching the one in our community? Together, we will reach the one. Together, we will reach our community, and we will fulfill the mission God has given us to know Christ, to live out our faith, and to change our world. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for just giving us a heart to reach the one in this community. I pray, Lord, that, Lord, just put those people in our path and open our eyes when they're already there. Lord, show us what our part is so that we can reach more, so that more people can come to know you and grow in their faith. That's our desire, and Lord, we're dependent on you to make that happen. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.